T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Seal, 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 seal. Yes, baby seals are cute. Sealed with a kiss. Seal. Navy seals.
The singer.
Yes. S-E-A-L. That is your keyword for cash. Seal. S-E-A-L. Text that word to this number, 72881, for your chance to win $1,000. And I hope you win, because we could all use $1,000. Come on, right? 72881 is the number. The word is seal. S-E-A-L. Good luck.
Yeah. Hope it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
I really hope it's me, but I can't win, but so I hope it's you.
No, that would look really bad if you won.
No, I'm just saying.
Maybe the FBI would show up.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad scene.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Okay, for the next half hour, give or take, we want to talk about Facebook. We want to talk about...
What a cluster this
hacking,
is.
...hacking, and how do you know when you look at any post, whether or not it's the real deal.
You don't.
Or whether you're getting played.
That's what's so scary about this. Even smart people are getting played. And there's really no way to tell.
Or is there? Are there some hints? Are there some tips? Are there things to look for in a post to see whether or not it really passes the smell factor? Mm-hmm. Facebook has taken down 32 fake pages and accounts. It says were involved in coordinated campaigns on both Facebook and Instagram. Though the company has not yet attributed the accounts to any group, it says the campaign does bear some resemblance to the propaganda campaign run by Russia's Internet Research Agency in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election. Facebook is now working with law enforcement to determine where the campaign originated. In recent weeks, Twitter has deleted a lot of accounts, many, many accounts. So it seems like, you know, the social media giants are trying to address this. Are they just scratching the surface? You know, is this just much ado about nothing, or is this something we should all be concerned about? Because there seems to be a deliberate misinformation, disinformation campaign going on
from
right
the Russians.
Now. Some analysts have said this is information warfare. Others have said, well, we do this too. You know, we try to create confusion in Russia and China.
Stop. We should stop. Nobody should be doing it, okay? You can't go to bed and sleep at night if you are the source of fake news, if you are the source of discontent. So it should be stopped. That's how I feel about it. Find out how our guest feels about it.
Yeah.
Alex Hammerstone is a security analyst with Trusted Sec. He comes on, he's a frequent guest on the show, and we're grateful to have him on. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. So let's talk about these fake accounts. How did Facebook identify the ones that were fake?
So they haven't been completely clear and open about it, which makes sense. You know, if you have certain methods that you're using to identify these fake accounts, you wouldn't want to, you know, let that methodology out because, of course, people making fake accounts would try to avoid that kind of detection.
Good point.
But it looks like these are, you know, similar in ways to other accounts that they have proven, you know, are fake and are, you know, part of a misinformation campaign.
So, Alex, is there any way for a casual or even a serious Facebook user, Twitter user, social media consumer to be able to tell whether or not something is authentic, whether it's real, whether or maybe it's been manufactured? Are there any tip-offs, any telltale signs, or, again, is the message buyer beware, beware of every post?
So I think definitely, you know, beware of every post, everything you see. I think that's good advice for everything, of course. But there are certain indicators of, you know, newer accounts or newer pages. You know, I would say, you know, if you're a 50-year-old balding man and you're getting a bunch of friend requests from, you know, 20-year-old models, probably not real.
They're not?
Things like that.
What?
Shoot.
Way to burst my bubble.
But there are definitely indicators like that. But really, you know, if you look at the photos, if somebody has photos that are, you look like stock photos or the kind of photo that would come with a wallet, you know, it's probably not real. You know, people with fewer friends or no friends in common, you know, as far as profiles go. As far as the actual pages, you know, there are kind of two types of issues. One is just altogether fake pages. So someone makes up an organization and tries to sow discord. The other is a copy of a page. So maybe a well-known or popular page, and you go out there and create something with the same name and the same images and try to trick people that way. So, but really, there are indicators. It's, you know, things that just don't feel right. That's not an easy answer, but really, like most things, if it doesn't quite feel right, there's probably something up with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, explain to us, Alex, how this is dangerous. Because I was looking at, through some of the accounts that Facebook took down. This one in particular was surprising to me. It was a page called Mindful Being. It was like a meditation page. And every few posts, they'd kind of throw in something about never trust the media. The media is your enemy. And namaste. You know, and they were like teaching meditation, but every couple of posts, there was like an anti-media message. And that sort of buyer beware. You know, don't be dumb and fall for that thing. But then there were some other more dangerous ones where like a Facebook page called Resistors, which was actually coordinating an event to get people out on the street to resist. This one in particular was against President Trump. There's a picture of him with the Nazi flag. And again, this is a fake account. So these are terrible people who created this. So this is where I see the danger coming in. Another one I was reading was about a pro-Muslim Facebook page. And then the same creators of this that Facebook has now shut down had a pro-alt-right page. And they were both planning rallies on the page at the same location at the same time. And I could see where that would be extraordinarily dangerous for people.
Absolutely. And one of the things is, you know, when you look at ways to organize communities or get people out, there's some very specific and well-studied ways to do those things. And you know, it's not usually as simple as just creating an event and hope people show up. There's a lot of other things that people will do. And as people are able to understand those ways and kind of weaponize those and get people out on the streets, that certainly is a concern. You know, definitely, though, if you look at some of those groups, a legitimate group, you know, whether you agree with them or not, a legitimate group that exists will have some kind of paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to be incorporated in some way, or they'll have some way of getting in touch with the people, or there'll be real people associated. It seems like these groups don't have that, so there's really no way to kind of track back to who put them up.
But most people don't drill down, right? I mean, that's true. Look at something, you read a headline, and you sort of accept that as the truth, right? I mean, it's incumbent on all of us, if something doesn't smell right, if it doesn't pass the smell test, to try to drill down and see, is this real or not? Alex, I have a question. One of our listeners has a question. I just want to get your reaction to this. Facebook works for checking up on friends, families, recipes, restaurant suggestions. Relying on Facebook for your news or truthful facts is simply ignorance. Does that resonate with you? You know, all the major media outlets, you know, legacy trusted sources have a spot on Facebook, and yet they're sharing that mind space with, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who puts a post up.
Absolutely. And that's something that's certainly a concern and something that's kind of really changed, you know, kind of modern life as far as media is concerned. And look, if the New York Times or a source like that is your trusted source and they have an official Facebook page, then absolutely, you know, you should trust that news source. But I think that, you know, what it comes down to is if you have friends that are sharing, you know, random links and it's, you know, some website that you've never heard of or things like that, then it's really time to, you know, look into these things. You know, when we talk about drilling down past headlines. If you're accessing Facebook, mm-hmm. you're on the internet, which means that you have just that wealth of knowledge. You know, and I mean, the sum of human knowledge is really available on the internet for research. And so that if you have a question, you know, go on your favorite search engine and look for other sources. You know, back that up. These are, you know, simple skills that, you know, should be taught in school. You know, ways to research things and find primary sources and look for other ways to validate the information. You know, I think it's obviously some commentary on our modern society that people tend to take things at face value and just read the headlines without really looking into it.
Yeah, we're lazy, huh? Not good. Alex Hammerstone, security
Thanks,
analyst.
Alex.
I didn't mean you, Alex. I meant the rest of us.
She meant me.
I'm lazy sometimes.
She meant me. That's fine. It's on a good day.
It's dangerous, though. Alex is, of course, from Trusted Sec. He's a security analyst. Thanks again for coming on the show. We'll call you again, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You know, it's all about us. It's about personal responsibility. It's about not believing everything you read. We need to be smarter.
Don't take stuff at face value.
We need to be smarter.
And Exhibit A, what just happened in St. Cloud? A recent Facebook post that the St. Cloud Police Department had to come out and correct today. That's coming up next, along with a different angle to this. Why on earth would Russia benefit from sowing confusion, even whether it's the 2016 presidential election or the upcoming midterms? What is their motivation in planting these stories and this miscommunication? That's coming up next on CCO.
Oh, Facebook, we love you and we hate you. We can't live with you. We can't live without you. We shouldn't blame Facebook because it's really the Russians that are behind all of this. Mary Curtin is a diplomat in residence at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs, and she's here to tell us, why is Russia messing with our Facebook?
What is the motivation? Is it just they hate us? They hate democracy?
Mary,
what do you have to say to that when people ask you that question?
Well, thank you for asking me on again.
Sure.
To talk about this issue. It's good to be back with you.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. We're mad. We're mad. What's going on, Mary?
Well, you know, this is something that started many years ago. You know, I don't know if you know, I was in Poland at our embassy there from 2004 to 2008 at a time when a lot of Americans were not paying attention to Russia and how it was approaching the West and what it was already angry about. But it goes back to Vladimir Putin's view that the end of the Cold War and the demise of the Soviet Union was a tragedy for Russia and for the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. in that it was no longer a great power. And he's built his reputation and his politics on the idea that he is going to somehow restore Russia to that great power status. And he looks at everything that the West has, including democracy and economic prosperity and unity, as a threat, an actual threat to Russia and to its interests in the region and around the world as he sees them. So we states look, say, at NATO and think, well, we can see where Russia might be nervous about that because that's a military alliance. But Putin also doesn't like the European Union or other trade agreements because he sees those as building up the unity of the West, including the United States. And so what he wants to do is undermine the institutions that he thinks makes the West strong. And those institutions are our democracies, our economic prosperity, and our security strength and our military might. And so he and his forces, I believe, saw an opening in using our own instruments, our Facebook, our openness,
our freedom of speech, right,
and our freedom of speech against us. And this effort against the unity of the West and against our democratic institutions really has been going on for quite a long time. We saw him, for example, try to fix elections in Ukraine in 2004, invade Georgia, another neighboring country, in 2008, and begin to be very belligerent about the United States and the West around that time.
Mary, is this an acknowledgement that Putin, that Russia can't necessarily beat us militarily? And by us, I mean the United States, Western allies, NATO, but that with information warfare, that this is a new battlefield and that, you know, he can try to be a few steps ahead of us there, that we've entered this new age where, you know, bullets and bombs don't matter as much, that information or misinformation can cause just as much damage to the West as military damage?
Well, I think that you've got a great point there. I think, though, first of all, I think it's important to remember that Russia, like the United States, still has thousands of nuclear weapons. And
right.
So there may be we could not win a war against each other for all the reasons we couldn't for decades, which is that a nuclear war is not winnable. It would just destroy each other. And so I think he understands that. If it were to be a conventional military encounter, I think he also doesn't want that, because he does know that our conventional military forces are stronger and better prepared than his. And so going after the other strengths that we have as a country, including our institutions, by using our own openness against us, it seems to be the way that he has decided to go. And that has included not just manipulating things like Facebook or Twitter, but also building relationships with certain organizations. We saw the arrest of a Russian spy who had developed very close relationships, for example, with the National mm-hmm. Rifle Association a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of things have been going on in many countries for a long time. And probably those organizations did not really realize what was being done to them. And it's not just organizations on the more conservative side that have been attacked in this way. Mm-hmm. But Russia has been working really hard, probably because it doesn't see a military encounter as the way it's going to weaken the West and strengthen itself.
Wow.
Okay.
Mary, you're a great guest. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Mary.
Curtin is a diplomat in residence at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks for having me on. I'm always happy to be on. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, great. Bye.
All right. They weaken us. They look stronger.
We're being played, and we don't know we're being played.
I can't stand it. It's 4:33. Laura's back, and then for the news, and then your text. Fascinating. We will respond to this, and you will hear that story of the fake news Facebook post in St. Cloud that Paul promised right after the break on CCO.
Okay. Let me get to this story about what happened in St. Cloud.
Okay, good.
Because we've been talking about Facebook, we've been talking about misinformation. Monday of this week, the St. Cloud Police Department was contacted by media outlets and community members about a Facebook post which described the attempted abduction of a woman at the Walgreens on Division Street West that had allegedly taken place last Friday. 700 people viewed the post. Numerous people commented, unfortunately reposted the information as true. The St. Cloud, and again, this is a press release from the St. Cloud Police Department. What?
It's not true.
It is not true. The St. Cloud Police Department immediately concerned, as no such report had been made to their department. The information was assigned to their criminal investigative unit. Upon contacting the author of the Facebook post and then the alleged victim in the incident, it was learned that the attempted abduction never occurred. This was supported by video from Walgreens. As of this morning, the police department is aware that several organizations and many people are reposting this Facebook post as truth,
oh my gosh,
which has
this
falsely spread
news.
Fear, anxiety, and an incredibly dangerous false narrative. And one of our listeners said, yeah, I live in St. Cloud. I'm a student at St. Cloud State University. The fake story from the St. Cloud Police Department involves a fake kidnapping at the Walgreens.
They all know about it.
A very busy road that runs through all the town. It's a very fake story intended to subvert public opinion because St. Cloud has a lot of Somalis.
It's terrible. And it worked, I guess. There was concern, confusion. Hey, it made the news. We're telling you. But now you know it's fake because we are real. We are not Russians. Not that Russians are bad. Russians are...
Da, comrade.
You know, just the ones that are trying to infiltrate our 911 system or Facebook. So stop it. All right. Let's talk about a very Minnesota beyond the headlines. A couple from southern Minnesota busted for catching 253 crappies over the limit.
Ooh.
Yeah. What's the limit, Paul?
10?
Yeah, 10 per person. Okay, unbelievable. They were anglers from southern Minnesota. They have charges against them. It was a mountain lake couple were caught catching 273 crappies that they had in their possession after exploiting a hot bite on Fairmont's Lake. Is it Sistine? Sistine. Lake Sistine. Minnesota Conservation Officer Dustin Miller said the case is a prime example of how anonymous informants can strengthen the hands of local game wardens. Somebody called this in. Someone was on the lake and caught their lot, their 10 crappies, in like an hour and had seen this couple, and they were out for hours. So he figured something's got to be up. That's right. So he called in a tip. And the officer went to these people's home. They initially denied catching more than their limit, but the officers opened a chest-style freezer in the apartment with the couple's permission. They removed 25 bags of fish, averaging 9 or 10 crappies to a bag. Two-thirds of the fish were frozen, meaning they were uncut and whole. The other crappies were cleaned in butterfly fashion and looked to be older. Now, I don't – they did let the couple keep their limit of 20 crappies, but they took the rest. And I'm hoping they gave them – it doesn't say what they did with them. I'm hoping they went to a food shelf or shelter or something.
Or the state fair, crappies on a stick.
Okay, whatever.
It's going to be a sale this year.
But I hope
crappies
they didn't
on a stick.
Go in the trash. But crazy story.
Good grief. Cheer about this Aeromexico jet crash. All 100 passengers survived.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, this was a flight between Durango State and Mexico City. Right after takeoff, this thing went down. There were reports of hail, drenching rains, and powerful winds. My sense, and I've looked at it, just took a cursory look at the weather conditions, might have been a downburst. This is a downdraft within a thunderstorm that reaches the ground. A sudden rush of rain and hail-cooled air. Almost like a giant fist pushing down. So you get this temporary lift as you encounter the downburst, and then this powerful rush of air pushing towards the ground. Too early to say, but again, if it makes you feel any better, airports here are equipped with Doppler radar that provides early warning of these dangerous shifting winds. And as a rule, most pilots do not take off or land when a thunderstorm is over an airport or near an airport.
So was that pilot error?
Yeah, I think it was. She should not have taken off.
Wow. Okay. So. Good to know. Another crazy story. BCA investigators published troves of sensitive data taken from the cell phones of Thurman Blevins and the officers involved in his shooting, Justin Schmidt and Ryan Kelly. On Monday, as we know, it was announced that no charges were to be filed against the officers. But in the investigation, the phones were police issued, so they took their phones. They also took Thurman Blevins' phones. Well, the judge in the case ordered that a full snapshot, all the contents of the devices, photographs, videos, text, chat history, call logs, contact list, everything on the phone become evidence. And evidence is public. So all of the evidence was published on the BCA website. Most of it, none of it was relevant to the shooting. Now, the phones issued to the cops were mostly used for work purposes, but there was tons of personal data. One of the officers' Amazon purchase, stock market trades, Airbnb rentals, history of watched shows and videos, personal emails, Pinterest accounts. This was a mistake. Obviously, first of all, their entire phones didn't need to be downloaded, just what was pertinent to the case. And then it was published on the BCA website. You can't go look because it has since been taken down, thank goodness, because no one needs to see that personal information. But what a crazy mistake.
I'm going back to my slimline AT&T phone.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
My flip phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
The Russians again.
Or no phone. Just live in a cave.
Right.
All right. I don't think I can get this image out of my brain.
I won't stop believing that you can.
No.
It's a Journey reference.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I got you. No, I mean, we've been talking about Facebook and, you know, Russian misinformation.
Those damn Russians.
And so where did
off
this go?
Facebook Russians. It's right here.
Oh, yeah. Somebody writes, one of our listeners, I can filter things I read through common sense. So unless Putin spoons me in the voting booth, I don't buy their influence. Get that image. It's not a good image.
With Putin. A rugged outdoorsman.
Yeah. Wow.
Putin is spooning you in the voting booth. I like it. I think that was a great image. I really like that one.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Your texts were funny, so thank you for sharing. Appreciate that. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the Metro Transit driver shortage. They've had to suspend dozens of bus routes because there's a shortage. So, want a job?
They're looking for 90 good men or women.
Yes, and they'll pay to train you.
Right.
So it's a pretty good gig, and it's almost $20 an hour. Plus, we are going to play the weird news. Oh, I have a really funny
one. I'm a little worried about Jordana's. I'm
going back to the sex stuff. So it's dirty.
It's pretty.
It could get me fired, but it will make you smile. Just make the kids do the earmuffs at 5:35.
God help us. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next hour on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.